This season, we have teamed up with FansBet, the fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com and claim your bet £10, get £10 free. Welcome offer. To claim your welcome offer, visit register.fansbet.com/backofthenest. Our chosen charity partner is Sports in Mind, and by using FansBet, you'll be helping us support the great work they do. Terms and restrictions apply. Full details on site. 18 plus only. Please do gamble responsibly. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And please check out FansBet's responsible gambling tools. The TalkSport fan network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome one and all to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host Terence Ford, and it's Albert and Sam, and we're building you up to our trip to Turf Moor, where Patrick Vieira's Flying Eagles are looking to put another 3 points on the board. Oh, international breaks suck. Hesketh, it's such a joy to be back. I think even you could agree on that.
Yeah, because I hate international football more than I hate thinking about Palace
winning.
Well,
it's a good job we don't have loads of international content on this podcast tonight. More of that when we get to it. Albert, you seem in a very glum mood today.
No, I'm not glum. I'm just, I was desperate to have a beer and I had to wait for you lot. And now it's definitely too late to have this rather large beer.
I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer?
So it seemed to come out of a nice glass bottle there. It's unusual for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beers that sound like footballers. I've got a bottle of Angelo Peretti.
Does sound like a footballer, to be fair.
It does sound like a footballer. It's a premium lager. It's got 4 hops in it. I don't know how many you normally get in a Heineken.
4 whole hops.
4 hops.
Mine's got 3. What hops has it got? Let's have a hop off.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Barley. Mm-hmm. Malt. Hang on a minute. This is a lie. I can count 3 and 2 of them say barley. Sure. Barley, malt, barley and hops. Mm. And then it says, you think, oh, that's nice. Look, it's sort of this artisan. I'll say artisan, slightly nicer artisanal Italian beer. On the back it says, brewed and bottled by Carlsberg, imported by Carlsberg. Livid.
There you go. Mine's got Citra, Centennial and Amarillo in it. Okay. This might be up your street though, Hesketh. It's one of the ABC breweries that were brought back for me from the City game. It's called Alpha Pets. And it looks like it's got pictures of all the pets from people working the brewery because their names are in the background as well. And one of them it even says RIP next to it. But someone called their pet Ian.
That's pretty good. There's a dog that goes to my dog's like daycare thing called Alan.
Alan.
He's pretty good.
We had a hamster growing up called Keith.
Very good.
It's just something about giving animals human names, which is quite amusing.
Like my scout leader, who was called Jeff. He was an animal.
I'm not getting into what's been talked about in the press this week. I've got myself properly miserable in the last couple of weeks reading the news. Why did I start reading the news? The world's a grim place, man. Really, really grim.
And I'm going to bloody Burnley.
Well,
even more grim.
And I'm sure you'll be drinking in the cricket club pre-match as well. Yeah.
If DR gets us there on time.
DR gets you there on time. Indeed. Right. It's bit slightly old news, but it's been a couple of weeks because the international break. But fun with Brighton Brawlers. We've got to talk about the Brighton Brawlers. Now, for anyone who didn't see this, who was living under a rock on social media for a few days, a very prominent Brighton Twitter account called We Are Brighton tweeted, seen lots of people complaining about the atmosphere at the Amex. What can we do to improve it realistically? To which the response that got a lot of traction was, it starts with the club owners, management and people running the stadium. Allow a section to be rowdy and let them have banners or whatever. Maybe call them the Brighton Brawlers and then have the away fans within a safe proximity. Now, part of me, Heskey, thinks this must be a Palace fan posing as a Brighton fan. It's so ridiculous. And then it goes on for them to say that all the words to the chants should be put up on the screen. It's like going into American territory here.
Yeah, I've been to a game at the Amex where they have Sussex by the Sea lyrics put on the screen. I mean, that's bad enough. It's a terrible song and they still need the words up to sing it.
Well, they famously had the lyrics on the clackers as well, didn't they? That must have been the playoff semi-final.
Yes.
Yeah, they had it so everyone could read it. So all the Chelsea and Arsenal fans in attendance knew what the lyrics were.
And we know how well that day went, don't we?
We do indeed. Tears. Literal tears dripping down the clapper.
Who are they proposing they brawl with?
I don't know. No.
Especially if one of the caveats is that the away fans are kept at a safe distance.
Cool. Well, I was actually, when I was in the box of Wolves and I was next to the away fans, I was reminiscing a lot about the away fans being next to blocks A, B and C at a Homesdale. Missed those days.
Did you throw a falafel at them?
No, there was no falafel. As I told you, I had confit and duck à l'orange.
Are you gonna give them credit where credit's due? Seeing as we, you know, you were dubious and skeptical over.
Yeah, that's right. So that was the last. That's a good point. Actually, I should touch on it. It was good. It was much, much better. They've changed it to a buffet style, which I imagined it was always meant to be. But COVID at the Arsenal game meant that they couldn't do it. But yeah, it was much, much better. The food was good. It was there, warm and on time. The beers were flowing. Actually had a few Wolves fans in there as well, which made for some good laughs. They took it in all good spirit. We had Darren Ambrose before the game. We had Alan Smith after the game. So yeah, it was much, much better experience. And for a once every few seasons with, like, I don't know, a loved one or a few family members or something, it might be worth doing. But you know, I won't give up my seat in the Homesdale for it, that's for sure.
I'm not sure I love anybody enough to put them through that.
Yeah, I can't remember how much it was though. Like, we paid for it so long ago, and because we were seeing it as a one-off.
The only time I've had to do something like that was we had tickets for the my dad had tickets for the director's box. I think it was when we were in the Premier League, the Simon Jordan time. And it was all a bit last minute and I got to the ground and my dad was like, oh, you need shoes. So you can't be bowling in your trainers. And I don't know if you notice, when you walk back down towards Thornton Heath, you go past the Tasty Jerk. When you get to the mini roundabout to turn right up the high street, there's a shoe shop there.
It's a shoe zone, isn't it?
No, no, no. It's right on the mini roundabout. Shoe zone's on the high street. Okay. It's like you go left, you turn right. Now, some people might know where this is going, but I went into the shoe shop and it was like, you've got to buy a pair of shoes. And it was like, really, you know, we were running late and it was like, oh my God. Okay, well, I don't want to, like, oh, anything cheap. I think the cheapest pair of shoes was like 50 quid. So it's like, oh, get a pair of brogues or something. At least I could wear them for funerals, whatever. And like, yeah, just give us those in a size 10, please, sort of thing. Rushed them through, shoved them in a box. I don't know what I did with my trainers, but I put these shoes on outside and did them up, and then became apparent that they were like really wide and weren't staying on my feet. And we were in a hurry running to the ground. And then it was like, what the fuck are these fucking shoes? And then if you actually look, if you're not in a hurry, the shoe shop is an extra wide, it's a specialist extra wide fitting shoe shop.
You walked so in, they took like, one look at you when he's got wide feet.
Yeah. It's a specialist shop that specializes in wide shoes. So I was like, not running down the Homestead Road. I was like fucking running down the Homestead Road in scuba shoes. And I've still got them somewhere, but never worn them since. Completely unsuitable. Or they're like square, almost as wide as they are long.
I've got to look this up now.
You look at it. I can't remember what the shop's called. Listen, the service is very good. I'm not knocking the shop, but it only sells extra wide fitting shoes. So if you do get caught out and you need a pair of shoes to get into Selhurst, I would go a bit further up the road into Shoe Zone on the high street.
Save More Shoes. That's a little tiny one on the Whitehorse Road.
Niche, very niche.
there's one review on the internet of this shop, and they've given it.
It
8 out of 10. It's Gary from Bermondsey. A good place to go for wide fitting shoes.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all it needs to say.
That's what it says on the tin.
Nearest alternatives are Shoe Zone, Franco Shoes, and Kiss My Shoes.
That's not even a pun, is it?
These are all with Selhurst Road, High Street, Thornton Heath, and London Road, Thornton Heath.
If only I'd known about Kiss My Shoes.
No reviews on Kiss My Shoes, unfortunately.
Next time I'm caught short for a pair of shoes, I'll go there.
And also no reviews on Shoe Zone as well. It's just Gary from Bermondsey. He's the only one who's bothered. So there you go. Tune in next week for school uniform shops in Thornton Heath.
Whoa. Why?
Oh, because it's the one you always see when you go end up towards a Tesco on the corner. And I'm always looking in, being like, oh, which school is my kids going to go to?
Oh, I see. Come on. Just be on the wimpy.
You know, that talking to
the
review,
shop, not the school that your kids are going to go to.
That's a good segue into like a Venn diagram of what we're talking about, reviews online and wimpy. Where I went to a mate's birthday and got really pissed, and at some point took Vanessa's phone and wrote a review of Wimpy, Streatham's Wimpy, because Wimpy's is brilliant, obviously. Completely forgot about it. And periodically, this is like 5-6 years ago, periodically she'll get emails to her Gmail address saying, 50 people found your review useful.
Boring. Oh, sorry.
Well, it wasn't boring. And I knew it was. Capital letters, and it just said Wimpy Boys, and that's it.
hang on. Are you Gary from Bermondsey?
Listen, a wide foot needs a wide shoe, all right? I need people to know. 8 out of 10.
I can't. Unfortunately, I can't find your Wimpy review.
They've taken
it
down.
It's just difficult to find, tis all. we've gone so past the Brighton Brawlers now, we can't even go back to it. We'll let you deal with it yourselves. Just could you imagine some of the lyrics to the Palace songs on the big screen above the White Horse? Don't think they could go on there. We still wouldn't get that Edouard one right now, too, that much. Heskiff, as I mentioned to you pre-recording, I found your burner account.
Yeah, this is news to me. I'm interested to see where this goes.
Now, this isn't your burner account. There is a Twitter account called @other14, the other 14. Mm-hmm. And they posted up a stat of the most progressive yards carried from the other 14. So this is teams that are not in the top six that are in the Premier League. So taking out your traditional top six, it looks at who's doing best. And in the game against Wolves, number one and number two were Anderson and Gay, who most progressive yards carried, 260 for Anderson, 240 for Gay. Now, bear in mind, we've won 2-0 against Man City and we just won two, followed it up with a 2-0 against Wolves. The tweet underneath is from a Palace fan that says, "The trouble is, all those passes are either sideways or backwards." Now, except from the fact that this is talking about yards carried with the football, and the word progressive is included within the title, someone's come back to him and said, "It literally says progressive in the title. That means going forward." And he just, yeah, just read that. Thanks.
How does he feel about pressures?
Well, we've got to work our way through all these stats lists, to be honest. I don't know, Heskiff, how do you feel about pressures?
I don't like it. Passive, that's what I like.
Passive. But again, it's just, you know, fundamentally shows again the psyche of our fans, where it should be get it forward fast, quickly, long, like none of this breaking through the lines from dribbling out from the back. How dare you? How dare you pass around the other team?
Must have been some more pressure in those wide fitting shoes.
How many socks to fill up those shoes?
I don't know, mate. I literally wore them for that afternoon, and then they lived in the boot of my car for about 3 years. And then when I got rid of that car, the extra wide shoes, I think, went in the bin.
Oh.
Couldn't even give it to someone. I don't know anyone with elephant feet.
Do you like, sometimes my kid puts on either my shoes or my wife's shoes and walks around in them. You could have just...
It was like that. Honestly, you should have seen, my dad and my brother sprinting up Whitehorse Lane, Whitehorse Road, to get to the ground. And I'm like, wait, because they're slipping off. They're not staying. I'm trying to run with my toes like bent so they stay on.
It's a shame, because if he was coming down the homes now, you could have just sat in it and used it as a sled or something. Oh, dear. But someone who I imagine, no, I'm not even going to say someone who imagines got big feet, because he's a boxer, Richard Rearport, who is the Palace boxer, who's coming out to Glad All Over and wearing an Eagles on his shorts, is boxing for a title this week on Saturday, free to view on Sky Sports. So if you want to get behind a Palace fan, watch that on Saturday. I certainly don't. He was at the Wolves game. He was in the fan zone, taking pictures with people and signing autographs. I tweeted the club and said, "Can you send him up to the Legends restaurant?" But apparently, he hasn't reached that status yet, because he didn't come up, or he saw the tweet and said, "I'm not going and talking to him." I don't know. I'm wrong.
Didn't have the right shoes.
Exactly. Talking of contacts from the club, actually, I've been contacted by the club. I don't know how much of this I can say, but basically I've been invited in a couple of weeks to talk to representatives of an organisation, as well as senior figures from the club, about some stuff that they're kind of being a bit vague about at the moment, but I think they're going into part.
We hear you've got some comments on the confi. Come and say it.
Yeah, it's going to be, yeah, no. So I guess it looks like they're going into partnership with a company, and it's something to do with fans, and they want to get fans involved. What did they say up here? They said, "As a valued supporter and key figure in Red and Blue Army," I mean, it couldn't be any more key.
If you weren't key, you'd be
Yeah. I don't know. So I'll let you know how that goes when I go in. I'll be in on the 24th of November. So I'll let you know what they say.
I'll put it in my diary.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Right. International
makes a change from name dropping the BBC, doesn't it, Heskiff?
I didn't write an article this week. It's international break. They weren't getting one out of me. Don't count. And I just couldn't write about Conor Gallagher again. I'll be like Stan, the Eminem song, if I keep writing about Conor Gallagher. Conor, I called you, but you still ain't calling. I wrote you, you still ain't calling. It's been international break, as we know. Some heavy Palace involvement in the home setup, which is unusual. Hesketh, four players starting in the England under-18s from the Palace side. I mean, hot on the heels of the academy being finished, this is it's already starting to show some really promising signs.
Yeah, I think this is exactly what Parrish would have wanted to have happened in such a quick time, you know, from having the England manager opening the new academy to Palace sort of filling up all the age groups in the next England squad, you know. But it's great that the 18s are really good. You know, it's a group of players that have been good in their age group for a few years now, I think. So it's not a surprise in terms of their talent, but it's a surprise in terms of the fact that they play for Palace and are getting recognised. So, yeah, it's great. Hopefully it continues for a lot more of them.
Yeah, and then also going up to under-21s level, Albert, you had Gallagher and Gay in there. Arguably both from the Chelsea academy, and if we would have had our academy 10 years ago, maybe they would have been in our academy anyway and we would have been able to bring them through. But no, it's obviously resulted in a full call-up for Gallagher in the absolute trouncing of San Marino, which is, I suppose, a good thing for him, but bad for us, maybe?
Yeah, I mean...
Go on, Hesketh.
No, I was just going to say, I turned on, because I don't watch international football, like I'll turn on when Gallagher's on, and then he hit the post, didn't he? I did think, is that a blessing?
No, it would have been disallowed anyway, because we then scored shortly after and it was disallowed for a VAR decision that was just before Gallagher hit the post, so it wouldn't have counted anyway. So I'm glad he missed. Albert, you can answer this time, I promise. I'm just rudely interrupted by the Frenchman. In terms of our prospects of signing him, if he starts making himself a regular in and around the England setup, I think that's final nails in our coffin, right?
Well, I mean, listen, he started to sort of re-emerge at Chelsea a little bit, but, you know, we said the same about Loftus-Cheek, and I know sort of he went away mainly due to injury, but, you know, when he was back fit, he got shipped out to Fulham and didn't really do a great deal, but now he seems to be getting opportunities at Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea's options in midfield are ridiculous, you know, and I know, you know, with every year that goes by, other players get older and, you know, players like Gallagher might have a better chance of featuring for them. But I mean, listen, it's one Chelsea fan's opinion. But when we got him on loan, I've got a mate that's just like lives and breathes Chelsea and knows all the players out on loan, knows all their various squads. And he was like, he's not good. Conor Gallagher's not good enough for Chelsea. He's never going to like nail down a place. And he seemed quite convinced. I mean, he might be a change his tune now that he gets to see him actually play regular Premier League football, and he's very impressive. Obviously, we're all smitten with him. I think the biggest sticking point now is purely the asking price. You know, what did Chelsea want for Loftus-Cheek when there was talk that we might go in for him? It's probably 40 million, and you can probably say that Conor Gallagher's already had more of an impact, you know, like an obvious impact. Loftus-Cheek was great for the last sort of 10 games, but Conor Gallagher's come in and instantly made a name for himself, got an England call up. And if he carries on the way he is, you know, you could probably add like £250,000 every week to the asking price. So, but yeah, I'd love it to happen. It's whether we can make the numbers work. And, you know, he's got to make a decision as well. He might not want to stay. He might want to go back to Chelsea and push to play in a team that challenges for Champions League.
Well, I mean, he's a boyhood Chelsea fan, grew up, and his dream is to play for Chelsea. I mean, technically he has. So, mate, but I don't...
Done that one, mate.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think for him, he's going to want to push himself and try and get into the Chelsea setup. He's going to back himself and believe he can do that, but... Hopefully, we get another loan season out of it next season. But there's a lot, you know, a year and a half is a long time in football. Anything can happen, you know, you never know.
About three Chelsea managers can happen in about a year and a half.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, they could go and sign anyone as well, right? So if they decide that, you know, someone becomes available, all of a sudden they decide they're going to go and get him and it completely blocks his pathway, then you never know. It might not make sense. And then Chelsea sell him to us with a first refusal, because then they can just get him back whenever they want at that point, you know. So That's the only way I can see it happening is that they bend us over a barrel and we basically get a really terrible deal out of it, giving them a lot of money and giving them first option to sign him back. But I think Palace fans will take it at this point in time. But as I say, it's still a long way to go in the season. He's some player. He stepped onto the field for England the other night and looked like he'd been playing there for years with everyone. It was quite a sight to see. Not in terms of the opposition they were playing against, but just the way that, you know, he moved around the pitch. He completely looked like he belonged. So very, very impressive from him. Gay scored for the under-21s in a defeat. He came off the bench. I mean, that team was obviously heavily changed because they'd lost Smith Rowe, they'd lost Gallagher to the first team, and this was only a friendly, but he scored a goal. So that's got to be good for his confidence. And Hesketh Southgate has talked about between now and the next international break, he's going to be having an increased focus on Gay, Gallagher and Tyrick Mitchell, who's not represented England at any level. So the academy really rubbed off him in there, and that is, like, he's even going to start looking at Tyrick.
Yeah, I mean, with Gay, you know, I see Tyrone Mings in the England squad, and I'm told by back of the nest Chris Clark that he was good last year for England. Maybe that's true, but I think Gay is a better player, and I think Gay should be in the squad ahead of him. Maybe if there was a place for stamping on people's heads, then yeah, get Mings in the squad, but as a player, I think Gay, I think he's quality, and I think he'll certainly be in the England squad in years to come. It's good to hear Tyrick being talked about as well. I mean, I didn't really consider him as being an England squad player just because he's not really talked about that much. He's not, you know, he's not a guy the media seem to love, but it's really good that Southgate's mentioned him. I think the PR sort of stunt of getting him to open the academy is great anyway, but if it rubs off on getting Mitchell more eyes and potential England call-ups, then that's great too, because he's been really good
this Mother's Day. Celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Season.
Yeah, quite, it just went through that period where he just got better and better with every game. Really taken to what Vieira's trying to do. And yeah, really impressive season so far for him. I think Man United are going to be looking for a new fullback soon. Another 55 million. 55 million would do, I reckon. You know, we'll take Aaron Wan-Bissaka back in the exchange for like 2.5 million or whatever. Albert.
Oh, I don't know. Have you seen him play recently?
Yeah, but you wouldn't take him back? I mean, he knows he's got basically the entire fan base against him. It's all gone to shit there anyway.
Yeah, of course. I mean, not if it's going to cost us 50 million quid, but yeah, listen, on paper, would I want Aaron Wan-Bissaka back in a Palace shirt? Yeah.
Yes. Good. Let's hope it ends up another Zaha situation where you have him back for 2.5 with a few million and add-ons and a sell-on clause. We'll take it.
He can be back up for Wardy.
He can be back up for Wardy.
He's still not been ever... Has he still been called up, not called up for England yet?
Ward.
Ever? No, it's an outrage.
No, Wan-Bissaka never got.
Not even been in a squad.
No.
Come home, Aaron.
Yeah, I think he qualifies for DR Congo as well, doesn't he? Who are in the? They have an opportunity to qualify for the World Cup. I think they're into the playoff stages of it. So, never know. Maybe he'll just decide. Because look at right back for England. There's Kyle Walker, there's Trent Alexander-Arnold, and there's Reece James. And in the style of football England are playing, where does Wan-Bissaka get into that? I mean, I don't think he's as bad going forward as a lot of Man United fans like to make out, but he's not Alexander-Arnold or Reece James. And I genuinely think Reece James will become one of the best right-backs in the world because he just has every single attribute. It's basically the only right-back I've ever seen Wilf get nothing out of. Everyone else at some point in some time, he's dominated them and had a really good game against them. But every time he comes up against Reece James, he just gets nothing. So that I think that tells you a lot about how good he is. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see Aaron end up taking that option. Forgive me, it's not DR Congo. It's just ringing a bell in my mind for some reason. But I'm gonna check it for Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Does he DR Congo? Yeah, he does. Okay, good.
And that's why you're invited to meet. VIPs
at Selhurst. I doubt they're going to be VIPs, to be honest. But there you go. Yeah, so he represented DR Congo at under 20 level in 2015. Since then, he's played twice at England under 20s and three times at the under 21s, but never the senior squad. Yeah. And are you
Harry Maguire, though?
Oh. Well, and when you're having to play in a defence that's got him in at the moment, now you you had another reasonably successful tweet, didn't you, Albert, with Harry Maguire on it?
Yeah, didn't even watch the game. just saw the pictures and the footage and thought, I'll have that. Yeah, Harry Maguire. Best thing about that is that it's a relatively decent header against a relatively poor opposition. And I can't think which way round it is. First, he cups his ears as if to say, what's that you're saying? Like, up yours. And then, about a second later, he puts his fingers in his ears, which is the complete opposite.
Yeah. What's that? What you're saying? What you said? No, I'm not listening. Maybe.
Yeah. Come on, it's Harry Maguire. You've done it.
Do you want to share your tweet, or do you feel like it needs the visual and people need to go and have a look?
I think by the fact that it's very nature. I mean, do I have to describe the photo?
No, go at Malbert K on Twitter and have a look. Yeah. Can't miss it. It's you Harry Maguire's big head just on the feed.
You could be the 206th person to like it if you go and look at it right now. If it gets to 300 likes, I'll go live.
You set up can you set up on Twitter now, like you can do something. You can not a shop. I don't know. There's this new function on Twitter, a space or something like that. You can set up where I think people can come and talk to you or something.
Is it like a cameo video, like my one from General Lee?
No. I think like you can invite your fans to come and have a live interactive session with you.
Get DR on there and have Albert as a guest. that'll get the people coming in.
Anyway, talking of big heads, Christian Benteke, goal and assist during the international break against Estonia. Had a really, really good game in that one. Could have had a hat trick, like very, very unlucky. Hitting the woodwork again. It seems to be his favourite pastime this season. Brilliant header. Think Everton away when he curled that header in. Basically recreated that, except it just hit the post and came back out. Looking really, really sharp. Good for him. What else we had? Zaha's had his birthday since we were last on. What's that make him now? 29? Mm-hmm. Mad, isn't it? How's Wilfried Zaha 29 already? We're getting old, boys.
Yeah.
We are getting old. Before his birthday, he will not, unfortunately, be getting World Cup spot because Ivory Coast lost to Cameroon in Wilf's absence. Heskiff, Zaha, there was rumours that he said he didn't want to play for Ivory Coast anymore. He's come out and kind of squashed those and said that he does still want to be involved. It was just, he was a bit homesick for this one. But talk about pick the worst international break to give a miss when it's integral for your country qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah, he might not have a choice about whether he plays for him anymore now. Mm. Well, poor old Wilf. I mean, it's all right. I don't mind. I don't mind him not going. But yeah, it's a bit of a gutter if it turns out he does want to still play for the Ivory Coast, like he says, and now they're not actually going to the World Cup. Mm.
And then sadly, Jordan Ayew ended up trending on Twitter whilst playing for Ghana for all of the wrong reasons, for basically missing sitter after sitter. I think if you factor in his Ghana appearances with his Palace ones, he's like one goal in 70 or something. It's really bad. Really, really bad.
Was that for Ghana or for
Palace? So that was his last goal was Leeds, I think, in that 4-1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yep.
And again, you know, like I think Palace fans, again, you could realize, you know, the performance he put in at Man City, we all realize that he's got a role to play at the club this season for sure. But he needs a goal. He desperately, desperately needs a goal. Someone who doesn't need goals at the moment is Sion Spence at Bristol Rovers on loan from the Palace youth team. Now, what a game this was. FA Cup first round, League Two Bristol Rovers playing League One Oxford United at the Memorial Stadium, which is the home of Bristol Rovers. Rovers take the lead. Oxford equalise, goes to extra time. And in the first 3 minutes of extra time, Oxford go bang, bang to make it 3-1. And then all in the second half of extra time, Sion Spence makes it 3-2 in the 114th minute, they equalise with an absolute stonker from the edge of the box. And then Sion Spence in the 117th minute adds a second to make it 4-3 to Bristol Rovers and advances them to the second round. Hesketh, for a young player to be out on loan like this, and to grab two goals in such a, you know, crazy, crazy game, which will be remembered forever by Bristol Rovers fans, this is a successful loan period for him.
Yeah, it's good to see one of our players out on loan actually doing well, because we've had a few have gone in the recent couple of years and haven't played and come back or not really pulled up any trees. But yeah, I think to go out on loan and score twice to put you through against a team in the league above in the cup is great. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think he looked good when I saw him play for the under-23s last year, and I thought maybe he could play slightly higher than Bristol Rovers, with all due respect to them, but I'm really glad that he's gone there, and he seems to be doing quite well.
Mm. He's already got one other injury time winner this season, away at Walsall, I think it was. Again, they equalised in the 89th minute, and then Spence scored the winner deep into injury time. So impressive from him, and even more impressive as well for this game last night for the Rovers fans. We got two ex-Rovers players scored against them for Oxford as well. So it's a night they'll absolutely remember. So good on Spence, and well done. Right, I suppose we should move into talking a little bit about Burnley. Can you hear a person
sing? I can't hear a fucking thing. When people now ask me if I like football, I say yes, I do like football, but not Burnley. Burnley can fuck off.
Which is a bit unfair on Burnley, actually. I actually quite like Burnley away. Not Burnley, but Burnley away I like. Now, there is a rumour going around that James McArthur is out injured for 3 months. Albert, how big of a miss is this if it's true?
Big miss, because obviously he's been integral in our run of form, and he is the peak, you know, all bar scoring goals. When he had that little purple patch a few seasons ago, all bar goals, he is like peak James McArthur at the moment, just doing everything that he's so good at, you know, going forward, defending, a little bit of sort of shithousing, and, you know, has really sort of grown into
the captain's armband, basically. You know, he's grown into that.
Yeah. Exactly. He's grown into a real leader of the team. Not that he's ever been a wallflower or anything like that, but yeah, he's just like, you know, he's dragging that team forward and you know, really leading by example. And, you know, potentially unfair in a way that someone like Luka hasn't done really, you know, does it in a slightly different style. But McArthur's been amazing. And if he's out for 3 months, then yes, instant reaction to that is shit, that's bad. However, if the other rumours are true and Eze is closer than we all first feared, then I'm not saying it's a good thing that McArthur's out, but it certainly becomes more palatable if Eze magically appears in the starting lineup. I don't know necessarily how that works in terms of balance. Obviously, McArthur does a lot of the dirty work and Eze's not really there to do that. You know, I know Roy tried to turn him into a defensive winger for like his first like 5 games. But yeah, listen, if McArthur's out, it's gutting. But if Eze's back, it puts a spoonful of sugar into the medicine.
Yeah, I think another player that hopefully is back from a short time out, and not that he's ever really played, is Will Hughes, because apparently he was not on the bench the other week because he had a slight back strain or something. But he's the sort of player that I would see getting in the team for Jimmy if Jimmy's injured. I kind of thought he'd play a little bit further back, but I read somewhere, maybe on The Athletic, that Vieira sees Hughes as a player who's going to sort of compete for the roles that Gallagher and McArthur has. So if that's the case and he's fit, I'd like to see him in, especially, you know, if you play a team like Burnley who are quite physical and you sort of need someone to get stuck in and be a bit of an arsehole to him. I think Will Hughes is quite capable of doing that. So hopefully he'll pop up soon. But I think Jimmy not playing for 3 months, if that's true, is a massive blow, because even if he hadn't played every game in those 3 months, he's such a big player for us that we're definitely going
to
miss him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I suppose the other option is to get Eze in as well, is to drop Gallagher a bit deeper. And he did for the first 15, 20 minutes he was on for England. He played as the deepest line midfielder for England. And he looks right doing it. But I really think that takes something away from him. Like, he's, you know, you want him higher up the field than that, because the way he presses and dispossesses people is really, really good. So I think you want to keep him there. But, I mean, these are great problems to have, right? With, you know, Jeff Schlupp could probably go in there and play that position as well. And you've got Hughes to come in. You've got Milivojevic. You've got Riedewald if push comes to shove. Although him trying to press in a Vieira S style, I'm not really sure.
I was going to say, I'll let you try and shove him.
but as I say, great depth within the squad now. I think the only place where we don't perhaps have as much depth as we'd maybe like is centre back. And Albert Anderson did leave international duty early, but it's not a serious injury and he should probably be all right. But you know, you're not too fussed with Tompkins playing the odd game here and there, I'd imagine.
No, not at all. I mean, James Tompkins on his day is, you know, a fantastic centre half. He's just a very different type of centre half to Gahey and Anderson. You know, we know that he's not going to be pinging the ball like Anderson's more than capable of. But you know, can he come in and put in a gritty performance at, you know, away at Burnley? Then yeah, of course he can. You know, I'd be more concerned if we were away at Anfield, or, you know, I was going to say away at the Etihad, but we won there. but yeah, no, like Tompkins, if fit, is more than capable of coming in and doing a bit of a job. So, you know, as long as Anderson's not out long term, which doesn't look to be the case, then yeah, I mean, and again, it wouldn't be my first choice, but you know, Kouyaté is always an option. I don't know how much he wants to, you know, again, play that sort of that passing role. However, again, as a temporary fix, we've got plugs for that hole. And again, you take Kouyaté out of the midfield, and you know, you guys have just said there's plenty of people that can come in and shuffle the midfield around. So it's nothing to worry about yet.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'd be a lot. Yeah, it looks like the depth's great and the quality and depth is good. Right. few stats before we get predictions. Burnley have failed to win 13 of the last 14 Premier League matches.
True.
Yeah, it is true. But weirdly, they've only lost one of their last six, including having a 1-1 draw with Chelsea just before the international break. And obviously, Palace are unbeaten in six. So in terms of team news for them, Aaron Lennon is out. I didn't even realise he was still there. Dale Stevens is out as well, so at least that ex-Brighton player can't score against us. I don't think Ashley Barnes is getting anywhere near the 11 at the moment. I think it's more like Wood, Cornet. Who else they got there? Rodriguez and Vidra. So I think it's more sort of those are the ones we're playing in and around there at the moment.
I swear Vidra's been around for about 20 years.
Yeah. Well, he had that cracking season. He actually got player of the season over Murray in the promotion season, didn't he?
Which was a joke.
Yeah, absolute joke. But there you go. So, Hesketh, are we going to make it seven games unbeaten?
Oh, yes, we are.
Whoa!
But I don't think we'll win. How about that?
1-1.
No, but that's still good for you.
Like it'll be interesting to see how we play against a team like Burnley, if they are a lot more like aerial, if we're going to be all right with that, or if they just sit and defend against us. Be interesting to see how we get through it. But yeah, hopefully we'll. I mean, I don't want to go all the way up there as I have done in previous years into what is a pretty horrible place. And then get mugged off by Burnley fans on the way round the stadium after they've beaten us. But last time I went, we won. And so I'm hopeful that we can get a decent result.
So, Albert, the match forecast from whoscored.com is Crystal Palace will steal the ball from the opposition often. Crystal Palace will make a comeback if they go behind. But Burnley will control the game in the opposition's half. That sounds to me to be very, very unlikely. We'll see. And Crystal Palace will score from a wing play situation. Is that enough to give you belief that we're going to win?
I don't know if it's because I've had a mouthful of Angelo Peretti.
Glad you said that, not Jeff.
What an image. Anyway, yeah. I'm confident. I'm not going to use the word smash, but I think we're going to do them.
Have you got the dice?
No, I don't need the dice.
So what's the score?
The dice don't go. Let me get the dice.
He's just going to add them both together and say that's a nil.
9-0. No, yeah. I think I'm ignoring the dice. I think we're going to beat them 3-0.
Nice. I'm going to go for another 2-0. Worked against Wolves. Go with it.
I was going to say, it served you well.
Let's go again. Right. Now, before we finish, after last week, I left the beer blurb to the end deliberately. So, Albert, Crystal Palace Burnley player, someone who's played for both teams, beer blurb special. You've got a great option this week. I'm sure there's only one option. Do you want to guess, Hesketh, who it's going to be?
I was scrabbling for players other than this guy who has played for both teams, but I imagine it's everyone's favourite flappy goalkeeper.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Glenn Little. Go on then, Albert, who are you gone for?
You're both wrong, I'm afraid. You're both wrong, and you're going to have to work it out from the title of the beer. I've called the beer Grey Gooch.
Oh.
Any clues there? This won't hurt a bit, you'll say, as you buy one of these and crack it open. However, one too many, and the only crack you'll be worried about is the one appearing in your tracky bums as you unadvisedly attempt to do the split.
So Gabriel Cryer played for Burnley?
Yes. Come on. Where's my invite to the club? All this, you're a super fan shit.
I'm not a super fan.
I was going to make...
Well, we know that. We know that now.
See, that's ruined what I was going to say when you said it was Hennessy, and then I would say I did not see that coming. And now I can't, because you've gone for Karai.
Yeah. Karai, Gabor Karai, yeah. It was that already, Adi Akinbai.
Actually, so thinking about that, there's another keeper we had on loan from Burnley, wasn't there?
Nico Vassin?
No.
Oh, no, he was on loan from Birmingham.
He was like Greek or something.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, the there was.
God, why can't I think of his name?
Came in and did a job as well, I seem to remember.
I have no memory of Gabor Karai playing for Burnley. That just completely
Is it Nicholas Mikopoulos?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Nicholas Mikopoulos, former Greek professional footballer.
Yes.
A short period. He's 51.
I mean, he looks 51 at the time. But yeah, he played five games on loan for us in 2002. Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't it an emergency loan? Wasn't it like the sort of...
Yeah, because that would that have been around the time when we had Wassie's chops in goal? The one who always got it, Matt Clark, had to retire early. Was that around that time? So he was always injured.
Did Matt? Yeah. Do you know what? Matt Clark might have got injured or picked up the injury that he retired from away at Burnley.
God, it's not a good place to keep. The Burnley keeper done himself in when we played him there a few years ago as well, and he was out for ages. And then never re-established himself back in that team because Nick Pope came in, and then that was the end for.
Oh, well,
yeah, Tom exactly.
Heaton. And Joe, and they had Joe Hart there at the same time.
Just picking up a wage. Just did that for a few years at the end of his career. God, we have waffled on at the end here. But there you go. So Gabor Karai, you've caught us all unawares there.
Grey Gooch.
There was just so many opportunities with Spill relating to Hennessy.
Hands up, who wants one
on
of those?
On the when we played Burnley at home. That's
yeah. Listen. It's all got this is the thing I haven't thought about. Is I've got to do it all again for the return. Well,
what you've got to remember is that when we play Wolves away or Man City at home, Mark Kennedy is just there waiting. Low hanging fruit, ready to be picked off. Al was just shaking his head. Anyway, look, thanks to everybody for listening to the pod this week. Look out for the match reports on the weekend. Who knows? It might be Hambo. He has moved into a new house this week, so probably not. He'll come up with some reason why he can't do it. I will not tell you the action that Albert is doing there. It did sound a little bit dry though. Might need to
I just had an itchy that bit between my thumb and my first finger was just a bit itchy, that's all.
Oh, so you had to frantically rub it with the index finger of your other hand.
Yeah. Eczema, mate, it's a killer.
Very in and out motion.
It's red raw now.
Anyway, so look out on youtube.com/backofthenest for Palace Focus, and there'll be probably an away fan on there at some point this week, I think, from Twitter Clarets. We've had them on a few times in the past, so look out for all of that. We will be back next week when we'll be building you up to Aston Villa. Look at that, I know who we're playing. And then
could also dump Gabor Karai for that as well. It's
absolutely true.
Might just recycle that one.
You can't do that. Unacceptable. He's off the list. Someone new. If there's any graphic designers out there that want to mock up some of these cans with some of these beer blurbs on, hit us up. We'll pay you with some beers at games. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week. Until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See McDonald's.com. This season, we have teamed up with FansBet, the fan-led sports betting company committed to supporting charities and causes which are important to fans. Do check them out at fansbet.com and claim your bet £10, get £10 free and 50 free spins welcome offer. To claim your welcome offer, visit register.fansbet.com/backofthenest. Our chosen charity partner is Sports in Mind, and by using FansBet, you'll be helping us support the great work they do. Terms and restrictions apply. Full details on site. 18 plus only. Please do gamble responsibly. You can visit begambleaware.org for more info. And please check out FansBet's responsible gambling tools.